Let's begin. Okay, please take out your notebooks and join me as I'm going to do something that I shouldn't do. And it's, in some senses, it's quite horrible.
Okay.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Okay, now, if you have this kind of a notebook, just fold the page in half. Like this. Fold the page in half. And then number it, number down one side, 1 through 12. 1 through 12. Fold the page in half.
Should we make the numbers?
Just on the left-hand side of the page, in half, 1 to 12. Now, 1 to 12. Now, I'd like to ask you what we were talking about before we went on the break.
The mind.
Okay, the mind. Thank you. Anyone remember anything else about what we were talking about? The mind as the general topic? Yes? Yes. Yes, that's the Avanti Brahman is very... wise prayers mention this or emphasize that. It is the problem. Now I'd like to have a little bit of a demonstration. Introduce us as if we haven't been introduced already to our minds. Now, Maharaj, I asked everyone to fold, to take a piece of paper and fold it in half. You don't have to do this. But I also said because it's terrible what I'm going to do. So maybe you shouldn't do it. Now, because we're going to leave Vrindavan. That's why. Just for a short time. But Krishna has sent someone to bring us back after. Okay. Number one. And then number 1 to 12. Down. Now, don't think exact... I shouldn't even do this. Don't think from the Krishna conscious point of view. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question now. You don't have to write down an answer, but I want you to write down the emotion that it brings in your mind. Five being the highest emotion... one being the lowest, or zero being from 0 to 5. But I want you to think very specifically. And then write down, just wait. Write down, we'll do the first one and then you'll see what I mean. I want you to write down, or not write down, but think of your closest friend. But think about it with some heart, put yourself in your closest friend. Don't write down his name next to one, but I want you to write down, and this not your devotee friend, but someone on the... But I'd rather it not in one sense.
I don't have it.
You used to at one time. I know. When you were a young boy.
All right.
And write down 1 to 5 what... the feeling, the height of the emotion that it brings in you thinking about this friend. Or you can think of a devotee friend, okay. Okay, so write down just the number. You don't have to write down the friend's name or draw his face or her face. Just write down the number. Do you understand? Any question? Yes. Yes, the highest emotion is 5. Good. Good in this case, but just emotion we're looking for. Your friend, it's going to be good emotion. Because next I'm going to ask you something the opposite, and then it'll be bad emotion. I'm just looking for intensity of emotion. The highest is 5, the lowest is 1 or 0. Okay? But if you're thinking of a friend, I assume it's going to be more than 0. Just write down the number, and no one's going to look and be able to figure out who you're talking about by looking at the number. See if you can pull out some emotion in this. Okay?
What does it have to do with this 12?
Yes, this is next to number 1. Okay, so number 1 is friend. Simple. And this one, number 2 is enemy. The person who hurt you most in this life. Just put down the number.
The intensity of the emotion.
Yes, exactly. The intensity of the emotion. We're only interested in intensity of emotions here. Number three.
What is most intense? One or
five, five, five.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Five is just intensity of emotion. Negative, positive. Okay? Think of the person. Third. Sorry for this. The biggest mistake of your life. Write down just the intensity of the emotion. No crying. Only for Krishna right now. But the biggest mistake of your life. Think about it seriously and accept my apologies too. And again, no one's going to know what it is, so it's still a secret. Number four. Your greatest attachment in this world, if anything will keep you in this material world, I want you to write, just put a think of what it is, and write down the number of intensity. Zero meaning not so much, five being the highest intensity. Is this bewildering? Is it clear? If anyone has a question, raise your hand. Okay. Now, five. What are you most repulsed by that you hate most in this world? That you, when you see it or anything or think about it, oh, that's a number of intensity. Six. Another in that vein. The worst experience of your life. Now you know why I apologized first. The worst, think of the worst experience and put down the intensity of the emotion. Seven, your dearest possession. Perhaps the one you don't want to lose, the thing that you have, thing, person, anything, that you don't want to lose. Possession, though. The intensity of emotion. Yeah, okay, physical thing. House, maybe? Well, anyway, car, who knows what. Body. But think about emotion in it. Okay. Number eight. Now this one, you should be honest about. And just watch, when I ask the question, watch your heart. And put down the emotion. How much money do you possess? But just think of the emotion that the question elicits in your heart. Usually, when someone asks you a question like that, people get fearful and the heart goes. Nine. Think of what you fear most. And write down the emotion. Ten. Think of your family, however family you have, what emotion does that bring? And write down the number. Take a picture of the whole lot of them and throw them together. 11, think of your body and put down a number. Yes. But you weren't here when I apologized to everyone in advance. And number 12, which is the final one. Think of your country. Country. So the emotion, just not going through the head, just the emotion. It's all right. Don't worry. Okay. Now that's the 12. Now, okay, the first one, your closest friend who helped you the most in this, especially when you were growing up, you know, innocent friendship, closest friend. Second, enemy in this life even, who's really, really hurt you and caused you so much pain. Just put down the emotion number. And the third one, the biggest mistake in your life. Okay. Now, I would like to change the perspective a little bit. Now, from a Krishna conscious point of view, we know that we've had many friends and many enemies and many bodies and many countries and many families and many... If we took our whole life from the beginning to this point in our life and made a movie out of it, and so mine would run 59 years and 10 months at this point. But then I sped it up, that movie, the whole thing, to 1 minute. Think about that with your life. Your whole life, the good, the bad, the friends, the enemies, sped up to 30 seconds, 1 minute. And then think about your favorite deity or your favorite place in Vrindavan or your favorite time, spiritual time, chanting, discussing Krishna Katha, or something very where Krishna was really present. And at the same time, not so much something you've achieved in your life spiritually, but something, your deepest experience when you felt closest to Krishna and in Krishna consciousness. Now, come. Now here's, come. Now to make this even more real, see who Krishna has sent.
Hey Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We're in Vrindavan, and this is a place of so many leelas of the Lord. And you know that there is the leela where Brahma, Lord Brahma, he became bewildered, and he stole the cowherd boys and the calves, and then he witnessed the unparalleled opulence of Sri Krishna, and then he understood that he understood basically who that talkative young boy was that he's dealing with, and then Lord Brahma, he wanted to say I'm sorry to Sri Krishna. And he did so in so many beautiful prayers. But there is one they're all very important prayers, but one very important prayer is that Lord Brahma says, Lord Brahma's vision for the sure path of perfection. And he makes different requests. One request is that he says that we should just give up this useless business of speculation. This morning I was listening to Srila Prabhupada giving a lecture, and Prabhupada was saying, this I think or I suppose, Prabhupada was saying, this is all very, very useless, should be discarded. So Brahma said, please give up this useless business of speculation upon the Supreme. And then he said that it's not necessary that you should change your position in society. From whatever position that you're in, you can become God conscious. And then he gave a very important point, and that important point is that if we wish to know about Krishna, if we wish to understand him fully, and if we wish to understand, like here you're gathered together because you wish to dive into the nectar and into the secrets and into the treasure house of Sri Krishna's holy name, then Lord Brahma says that we should always hear the topics of Krishna from souls who have realization. And then he explains that if we do these things, then that Lord, who is generally unconquerable by anyone, will become conquered by your love. So you're gathering here in such a sacred and holy place as Prem Sarovar is very worthwhile, and it's extraordinarily commendable because you've come to the holy place, you're sitting in such a beautiful Nama Kunja, and you are all wonderful Vaishnavas, but you have the guidance of senior Vaishnavas who have really dedicated their entire lives for understanding the nature of the holy name, serving the nature of the holy name, expanding the glories of the holy name, and rendering service to the feet of Srila Prabhupada, who was the foremost glorious soul in advertising Krishna's holy names all over the world. One of our friends is Srila Niranjan Swami, and One time I was sitting with Srila Niranjan Swami and we were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita together. And it was very wonderful. For many hours we read. He would read five verses, then I would read five verses, and then he would read five verses. And we just kept going like that until we were, we were like high as kites. And then Srila Niranjan Swami, he just stopped and he looked up and he said, "What is the most glorious contribution that Srila Prabhupada gave to the entire world?" It was like, boom. And I thought, and I said, well, I think it's the fact that he delivered the holy name. Because the acharyas, they say, namashreshtam, that of all shresht, or all great things which are given to us by spiritual master, the greatest thing is the holy name. And Srila Niranjan Swami, as you know, he's a very deep person. And who's a thoughtful person. And he said, such glorious thing is that Prabhupada not only gave the holy name, but he created such a network all over the world that one way or another, people would become caught in this business of the holy names of Sri Krishna. And then he just started saying BBT and art, and temples, and deities, and restaurants, and dioramas, and schools, and farms, and so he just started going through a whole list of things that Srila Prabhupada, you know, a net that he spread around the world that people would somehow or other get caught up in this business of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Prabhupada, he wanted that. And you're here. It is your great fortune that you're here in such holy place with great souls who have dedicated their entire lives to the feet of Srila Prabhupada and the business of understanding and the expansion of the holy names of Sri Krishna. So, please hear very carefully from them while you're here and take advantage of their association. Try to understand everything that they're saying and the nice moods of loving service and friendship that they're showing. And if you capture those things and incorporate those things into your lives, then that Krishna, who is generally unconquerable by anyone, he will surely become conquered by your love. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. It was Krishna's arrangement, or maybe Radharani's arrangement, that we came over here today. We were with some very nice friends from Russia. They came down, and they're here just for a few days because they're very busy people, they're business people. And yesterday we showed them Javad and Nandagaon, and then we were thinking today we'll come to Barshana. And so we did Barshana Parikrama. For some reason this morning the Darshan area of the Barshana temple was closed, and so we just sort of went through the temple real fast before the pandas could grab hold of us. And we had little extra time before going back to Vrindavan. I started thinking, well, let us go to Prem Sarovar. But I can see that it was Radharani directing me here so that I would be purified by the association of Srila Sachinandan Maharaj and Srila Burijan Maharaj and Srila Mataji Maharaj. And my mother, Lakshmi Moni, you know, that we could come out here and just have darshan of all of these great Vaishnavas and become purified and chant with all of you. So thank you very much, but I must leave now to go back to Vrindavan because we have an engagement at 2 o'clock. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances.
I'm very much like when we chanted Did you see what happened to the to the mind? It just fainted and on the wood garbage pile. You know, it was just so dramatic. You know, isn't it? It went like it really struck me as some symbolic sign. You know. You know, here you can see this neglect the mind. It just went like very photogenic. It fell on the
as presenting as important from the point of view of eternity, or from the point of view what to speak of from the point of view of loving Krishna. When we look at what's like when we were 4 years old or 5 years old, something terrible may have happened to us. From the point of view of a four-year-old. But now, seeing it from the point of view of a 60-year-old, it's completely insignificant. Or something wonderful happened. I won an award when I was in the fifth grade or something like that. Completely insignificant. This is what the mind is doing. Presenting something falsely as important, as significant, but ultimately, whether it's good things or bad things that it's presenting, something terrible has happened or something wonderful has happened, it's all insignificant from the point of view of Krishna consciousness and from the point of view of eternity. What I was attempting to do with the best friends and the emotions attached to that, the enemies, raise your hand if you've managed to get a lot of fives out of all that. Yeah, good. It's all ridiculous. And this, the positive and the negative, the positive, oh, I love this, oh, I hate that, from the point of view of Krishna, from the point of view of countless lives, from the point of view of eternity, from the point of view, say if I said you could be a billionaire, would you like that, Janmashtami? Your credit card would still be in debt, probably. But if you were a billionaire, but for an eighth of a second, what would be the value of it? So, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam earlier, there is this chapter, you're familiar with this chapter, the description of time from the point of view of the atom? Something like that. Do you know that chapter?
Calculation
of time from the atom. So what's going on there is that Sukadev is giving a perspective that we can judge reality from. He builds up from the smallest, the time it takes from a Paramanu to combine into a molecule, which is the smallest measurement of time, and he builds it up. Two of those equal that, and ten of them equal that, and ten of those equal that, and then it gets to hours and months and years and lifetimes of demigods, and then finally to the lifetime of Lord Brahma. And then he compares the lifetime of Lord Brahma to a flash of lightning over the ocean. So take that perspective and look at the emotions that your best friend, your worst enemy, the biggest mistake in your life, the greatest attachment, the thing that you're repulsed by. It's completely insignificant, in fact. But the mind holds it. This is the most important thing, especially when we're chanting japa. It lures us. It wants, the mind wants to protect the false ego. And it lures us. This is so important. It is so important. You have to not listen to Krishna's names so your mind can follow this. Or your mind can follow that. This is the business of the materialistic mind, protecting the false ego. And if one wants to chant good japa, one has to be detached enough to not identify fully with this mind that's going at 1 minute, and the mind is so tricky, it's going to say, this is the most important thing in existence. And the next moment, and it can happen in 2 seconds, there's no emotion attached to that very same thing. This is so important. And then I love it. I want it. And then some little change happens in the mind and there's no attachment. I hate it. The same thing that we love, we hate a moment later. The same thing that we hate, we can love a moment later. The promise of advertising, buy this, take this, get a this car, get this set, get this, increase your this. It's just the promise, the bluff of the mind. The mind sees it, it becomes attached to it, and at that moment it's the most important thing in existence, this impulse buying. People will spend thousands of dollars because at that moment they want it, completely impressed. The mind becomes attached. But it's nothing more than that. It's just the mind becoming attached to an object that ultimately is insignificant if it is of this world. The reason why I'm mentioning this and the reason why I'm stressing this is that this is what ruins our japa more than anything. It makes us inattentive. Is that we believe the mind. It tells us you must think about this now. You're chanting Krishna's names. I'm chanting Krishna's names. And this thing, this idea comes in my mind. And the mind makes it appear so big and important. And if you just listen to Krishna's holy name, within a few seconds, it will be like a balloon that is punctured by a pin. There won't be anything left, practically speaking. The emotion wasn't real. It was just the mind's temporary attachment or the aversion. I hate this. I love this. I hate this. I want this. I want to move this out of the way so I can get that. This is the most important thing, and unless I do this, I can't chant my rounds. This is the mind. This is Maya. And Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvanva Mo. This duality, Icha and Dvesha, I want, I hate, this specifically, Sammohan, this bewilders the living entity, the jiva. And Maya paints so many pictures using this, the I want and I hate. In the Bhagavatam, in a purport, Prabhupada compares what Maya does to a prostitute just changing her clothes, changing her dress, this attractive dress, this attractive dress. And it's the same thing. It's just the mind wanting to get some pleasure from trying to be the enjoyer, the center of the universe, protecting the false ego. Now, why is... It says in the Bhagavatam, very interestingly, one devotee asked me this question fairly recently about why, you know, in the third canto, in that 26th chapter, it says that the mind is born of which mode of material nature? False, huh? Goodness. And intelligence is born of?
Passion.
Very mysterious on the surface. We would think intelligence is better than the mind, so intelligence should be born of goodness, and the mind tends to be passionate. So we would think just the opposite than the Bhagavatam says. But without the influence of that intelligence that's scheming and planning, I'm going to do this, that's always thinking of the future, always thinking of the past, that's the function of the intelligence. That's the function of the mode of passion. So without that influence, if we just listen to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, never mind what the mind's linking us to our intelligent plans, that I'm going to do this, I have to do this, it's so important, I have to make a successful this or that. Success in this material world? In 1,000 years, never mind 1,000 years, 500 years, Never mind 500 years. Probably in 100 years from now, there won't be any person alive who even knew that we existed. Probably. And we want to do something significant in this world? What, to speak of the lifetime of Brahma? Something so important? No. This is the mind trying to convince us something insignificant for an insignificant soul is more important than listening to the holy name of Sri Krishna, turning our back on Krishna in that way. So we have to, there's no way around it. If you want to chant Kripa, you have to neglect your mind. It's not the final thing. The International Society for Mind Neglect. It's not that. That's Buddhism. And if you, and even with that one thing, and this is what the Vipassana meditation basically is, and the result of Pratyahara after Pranayama, it's just neglecting the mind by focusing it on something. One thing usually. The breath or something like that. And the mind, by doing this, the mind becomes quiet. The mind goes to its natural state, uninfluenced by the mode of passion, which means uninfluenced by the intelligence, the plan making of the intelligence, and it goes to goodness. And you get incredible realizations from the point of view of material life. The mind slows down and you can, practically speaking, realize something of Brahman. Just by this one thing of slowing down the mind, it will take you out of the material world, practically speaking. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. Soon as we start following the mind and making plans, accepting the demands of the mind, accepting that this proposition of the mind, this is so important, more important than me listening to Krishna's names, then immediately that intelligence puts us in touch with the creator of the intelligence, which is the creator of intelligence. Where does intelligence come from? Which mode of material nature? Passion. So when we plan and we follow the mind, it increases our mode of passion. And I don't know if you've seen this, when you start thinking about all, the mind will say, just one thing I have to think of, and then that will lead to another thing, and then another thing, and another thing, and whoosh, and then to try to get it back is so difficult because the mode of passion is moving so quickly. It's so hard to gain anything about the mode of goodness again. So the second key is this one. Listen to one mantra. And to do that, one has to not take the mind so seriously. It's just, I compare it to, you take a projector and you project on smoke. That's the screen you use, smoke. And what will you see? You'll see a tiger or a locomotive, a train coming at you. You'll see a car, you'll see something attractive. But there's no substance there. It's a bluff. It's only smoke. The mind is a bluff, but very, very tricky. So give it something very, very simple to do. If it's complicated, if you try to chant all your rounds at once, then you have to plan how I'm going to chant so many mantras attentively. And soon as you start planning how I'm going to do this, soon as you start thinking, I have to chant one mantra at a time, meaning I have to chant so many good mantras. How am I going to chant so many good mantras? Soon as intelligence is evoked, then the mode of passion is evoked, and one loses the ability to listen to one mantra, which is so powerful and where Krishna fully is. So avoid this, or try your best to avoid this on one mantra. Rishabhdev, Maharaj Rishabhdev, in his teachings, he asks, Maharaj Prickett asks a very important question of Sukadeva Goswami. He asks, why didn't Rishadeva, who was the Supreme Lord, use his mystic powers? Because it was mentioned in the previous verse. And he was the Lord himself. There was no problem using him using mystic powers for good. And Sukadeva answered that question that Maharaj Prakrit asked. My dear king, you have spoken correctly that there is no harm or difficulty for Maharaj, or danger of Maharaj Rishabhdev using anything. But, he said, however, after capturing animals, a cunning hunter does not put faith in them, for they might run away. Similarly, those who are advanced in spiritual life do not put faith in the mind. Indeed, they always remain vigilant and watch the mind's actions. This is watchfulness, watching the mind. We should not let it run everywhere. It's dangerous. Fifth canto, sixth chapter, text 1-5. That was the second verse. All the learned scholars have given this opinion, he says. The mind is by nature very restless. You let it go. And one should not make friends with it. If we place full confidence in the mind, it may cheat us at any moment. Even Lord Shiva became agitated upon seeing the Mohini form of Lord Krishna. And Subhari Muni also fell down from the mature stage of yogic perfection. And then finally, two more verses. An unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramours. And it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, and greed, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. So these are the warnings given. The mind is the root cause of lust, anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion, and fear. Combined, these constitute bondage to fruitive activities. What learned man would put faith in the mind? And Prabhupada's purport says, the mind is the original cause of material bondage. So these type of instructions aren't the sweet instructions that we all long for, in fact. They're dry, they're tasteless, they fill us with fear. We don't want to hear them. But yet, there is an important place for them in Krishna consciousness. We must know the reality of the situation. But the best way, Prabhupada continues, to control the mind is to engage it always in Krishna consciousness. Since the followers of the mind bring about material bondage, meaning lust, anger, greed, etc., we should be very careful not to trust the mind. And that's the message over here, neglect the mind or don't trust the mind, especially when we're chanting japa. But there's a problem with this. And the problem is that there's a saying, that which we resist, persists. That which we resist persists. So there are different methods of controlling the mind. I've picked three. 1, 2, 3. But we'll hear those after we take prasanam, I think. What do you think? Should we raise your hand if you think we should take a break now or have some water before this then? But I see some devotees are getting a little sleepy. So what I suggest is that, Maharaj, should you do it or should I?
You.
Okay. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Reality is, unless we have something very sweet to focus the mind on, no matter what we tell the mind, oh, I will control you, it will not stay controlled. But yet, we should know this practical point of reality, to not trust the mind. There are We can't take it fully seriously. When I said all those things of dualities, the biggest mistake in your life, the best thing you did, and your friends and your enemies, just think about it even right now. But from the point of view of feeling, think of your enemy. What does it do to your heart? What does it feel like? Huh? What is it? If you think of your heart as like a lotus. It contracts. Do you feel it contracting? How about when you think of your friend or something? It relaxes. On the material level, the mind is tasting. Not understanding the way the material nature works, we think the mind is just tasting the sweetness of friendship and success. But it's actually tasting both. It's tasting the distress and the happiness, the friends and the enemies. There's a feeling, a taste. It wants to taste both, and it goes from one to the next. We only want one, but it tricks us, because you can't have friends without having enemies. It's duality, dvandva moena. And to go back and forth between the dualities in this material world, this is specifically how the mind keeps us always engaged in materialism and the cycle of repeated birth and death. Because we want to taste friendship without tasting the pain of enemies. We want to taste the sweetness of success without tasting the misery of failure. We want to be loved in the material world, but Krishna will send enemies. The nicest person, he will send enemies, because Krishna's soul kindly constructed this world to make sure that we cannot be happy here, and that the mind has enough material to go from this, I want this, I hate, I want, I hate, I want, I, this is good, this is bad, forever, literally forever. It will keep us engaged. I've seen, even from my own self, I've mentioned this before, forgive me if you've heard it from me, that when you're old, I could run before, I could jump, I was so active, I could play this, I could play that, and now the knees don't work, this doesn't work, the shoulders, the neck, teeth falling out, eyes, all the pieces are breaking down. And when you're older and you can't walk and you can't run and you see the young boys and girls together and you're an old wrinkled man with no hair, you start thinking, I remember when I could run. And you see them running effortlessly, carefree, and you think, only if I could run again. And the seed is planted right in that for your next body. Oh, you want to run again? It will be arranged. What are you missing? What are you missing? You think you missed in this life? I never learned Sanskrit. I can't do it. I don't have that kind of brain. I wasn't beautiful enough. I couldn't sing. Only if we all have these ideas for different adjustments. The only if adjustments that we needed, if my body was a little more like this, a little like this, not so much like this usually, but like this, or I was more intelligent, had a better memory, I was stronger, I was more richer. This is how we go from life to life to life to life to life to life to life. And we've passed so many. This is Brahmanda Brahma Day, just wandering. The only if. And we should cut out all of the only ifs on the material level, whatever I am. It is. And only if I had some love for C.C. Radha and Krishna. And just go right to that. Forget everything in between. when our mind becomes attached to that, only if I could, if I was actually a devotee, only if I had actual love, then we should not neglect that mind. But everything else, it will trap us here. It will stop our japa. It will force us to fulfill all that long list of desires, of dreams that we have. The only if I would be happy. Only if I had that, then I would be happy. When really, only if I could hold the lotus feet of C.C. Radha and Krishna in my heart, then I would be happy. That is reality. And in the Dham, like that curtain with the light shining through, it comes through more. And we want to get these impressions that, because they're of a different taste. The holy names, they have a different taste than this, than all these dearest possession, how much money do you possess? When I asked you how much money do you possess, how did your heart feel? Did it open or close? Someone be brave enough. It closes. Why is he prying into this secret? This, I once read a survey that this question is the most intimate question for a man. He'll even tell you about his wife before he tells you how much money he has. This is the most intimate question. This is connected to security. Illusion, really, of course. But the heart closes, and then this causes it to open. We win, we lose. We want to stop it. We want to bathe our consciousness not in this continual icha, dvesha, I like this, I don't like that, sweet, bitter, accepting, rejecting, not following the intelligence with all its plan making, but just bathe the consciousness in Krishna's holy name. And that Chito Dharpana Marjanam, and then Shreya Karaiva Chandrika. But we have to hear about Krishna. And again, this isn't the end, but these are the foundational points. And the reason why I stress this so much is because these are where my greatest problems are. And I don't want the younger devotees, after 40 years of chanting, to be thinking, why did I neglect trying to hear the holy names of Krishna? Because you have so much hope. We have so much hope in our life. Because Nama Chintamani Krishnas, the holy name of Krishna is a touchstone. As Maharaj spoke so nicely about this, a touchstone, you take a piece of gross base iron and it turns to gold. The holy name of Krishna will turn the iron of my heart, me, into something very valuable. But I have to embrace it with my consciousness. And I can't be doing that while I'm thinking of 5,000 million other things. It's that simple. Second principle, the second key. Prabhupada says over here, of course we have to control the mind. I saw this so many times recently in Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's work. Of course we have to do it. It's the most difficult thing, but of course we have to do it. And I have already instructed you and all my students that the restless, fickle mind can only be controlled by putting the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. So there are many different levels of doing that, of course. But the first and most basic, in one sense, is just be bathed by the sound vibration, by listening. Put the ear and the tongue together and vibrate Krishna's holy names. Now, so many examples of the mind. One second it wants it, the next second it hates it. I've seen that myself. It's so embarrassing. You look at something and it's so attractive and you're walking down the street. You're looking at someone so attractive from far away. You're not seeing with your eyes. You're just seeing with your mind. The mind is filling in out of its imagination something that it's attractive. And then you get closer and the face is ugly. And then suddenly repulsed. There's this, actually, Govinda Maharaj once gave me this 1 minute stupid video. You know that one? There's this, these, no, we won't talk about it here in the Kunz. Yes, the Japanese, where there's this person wiggling down the road in loose fitting clothing, and the mind starts, oh, and there's this one man following it. It's only following this wiggling person. And then it turns around, and the person turns around, and he looks at it, and it's a gentleman with a mustache. And then you've been tricked again by the rascal mind. Something that's not attractive, that's attractive to you just in your mind, it gets switched around and it's not attractive. But this is the case with everything in them. It's all, there's no substance to it. But the holy name is different. So let us learn to neglect the mind, to not take it so seriously. Make the attempt. Now, the mind is so strong, this we know. I've written down three ways to deal with it. I'll get my sheets here. The first way is the way of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We know that way. Who knows? Who can say? Yes, it's the way of the broomstick and the shoe. Now, here's three quotations of Prabhupada in his purports. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that in the morning our first business should be to beat the mind with a shoe 100 times. And before going to bed, to beat the mind 100 times with a broomstick. In this way, one's mind can be kept under control. Another one. There is one easy way with which the mind can be conquered. And this is more the way of Srila Prabhupada in this sentence. It is neglect. And I'll read this purport in the way of Prabhupada. It is neglect. Keep it busy in Krishna. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's order. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the shastras. And if one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. And here is an explanation, in the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what he means by beating the mind with shoes and broomsticks. This is again, the way of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This wicked mind, which is never to be trusted, should be broomsticked every morning with such warnings as, be not anxious to find fault with others, or to declare thyself a true, sincere, bona fide devotee, which certainly thou art not. When the mind always is criticizing and fault finding with others, and we should think, who am I to do this? I know my problems better than anyone else. And look what I'm doing. I'm criticizing this person. We should not let our mind get away with this, especially in the Sato Nindam Paramamma Paranam Vatanute. A man who is habituated to criticize others' conduct will never prosper. Let others do what they like. I have no concern for them. I should rather find fault with my own damn mind. From Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And perhaps a more, a different kind of way, it reminds me this way is, what I think what Satchinandan Raj was referring to when he said, when some of us, when we get very heavy with the mind, it goes into a spasm and it tends to neglect whatever we say. It cannot take very heavy chastisement. And for that, there is the way of Raghunath Das Goswami, which is more pleading with the mind to become more a friend than an enemy. And this is number two. The third one was Prabhupada, what Prabhupada said, basically neglect. I have another quotation. First is beating, and this is pleading. We'll read, yes, from the first, just the first seven verses, very simple but very sweet. O mind, I grasp your feet and beg you with sweet words. Please throw away all your pride and develop intense, extraordinary love for my spiritual master. All the pride sits in the mind, false ego, they're all connected, the intelligence trying to fulfill the plans of the mind and false ego. Develop extraordinary love for my spiritual master, for Braja Bhumi, for the people of Braja, for the Vaishnavas, for the Brahmins, for the Gayatri Mantra, for the holy name, and for the transcendental shelter that is the youthful couple of Braja. Mind, don't do the pious and impious deeds described in the Vedas. Intently serve Sisi Radha and Krishna in Braja. Always remember that Lord Chaitanya is the son of Maharaj Nanda and that my guru is most dear to Lord Mukunda. Mind, listen to me. If you desire to reside in Braja birth after birth, and if you desire to directly serve the divine couple, then, with great love, always remember and bow down before Srila Sarup Damara Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, his elder brother, Sri Sanatana Goswami, and all their associates and followers. Give up the prostitutes of friendship with non-devotees. Prostitutes who will steal the treasure of your heart. What is the treasure of our heart? What do we actually treasure in life? Don't listen to the words of the tigress of impersonal liberation, which devour everyone. Give up attraction for Lord Narayan, which leads to the world of Vaikuntha. O mind, in Braja, worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the two philanthropists who give away the jewel of pure love. The highwayman lust and his friends have bound me at the neck with the painful rope of wicked deeds. O mind, please scream, O Krishna, O killer of Bhaka, I will be killed by highwaymen. O mind, do that, and he will save me. There comes a point when the mind is trying to grasp something where there is some freedom of the soul and he can say no and he can call out to Krishna for help, call out to Raghunath Das Goswami, call out to Srila Prabhupada, call out to any pure person. And if one calls out the names and thinks of these persons, the mind recedes. It cannot stand, just like Prabhupada said, that the sun and darkness cannot stand together. This is the process, but it takes some choice. It takes our freedom making the correct choice. What do we actually want? And this question we have to keep asking ourselves. What actually do I want? What do I want in life? What do I think will make me happy? Is it the service of Sisi Radha and Krishna, or is it any of the other phantasmagorical presentations that Maya is going to make to me? And during japa, Maya will try everything. And don't worry about it. Just listen to the holy names of Krishna. To one holy name, to one mantra. Do that. Call out call out, because this is such a wonderful verse. Please scream, O Krishna, O Killer, I will, all my jewels, I've spent my life acquiring, trying to acquire some spiritual taste, some spiritual realization, and lust, this highwayman, will steal it all away. My anger will steal everything that I've gathered and spent my whole life for. Well, is that what I want to happen? Well, there is hope, because if I call, Krishna is immediately there, abhinatam namanamano. And immediately, the mind is holding on so tightly to the object of lust, and immediately, it lets it go, and it's not the most important thing in the universe again. Or if it doesn't let it go immediately, we keep calling out. And very quickly it lets it go, because darkness and light cannot exist simultaneously. This is one of a main principle, to remain chaste in our mind and in deeds and in our chanting. We have freedom, we have choice, and we have to use it properly. Mind, why do you burn both you and me by bathing in the trickling urine of the ass of deviousness and hypocrisy? Very painful, actually. If one is introspective and one sees these qualities in oneself, it's very painful. And what does Srila Raghunath Das Goswami compare? That the mind wants to be famous, and it uses deceitfulness and hypocrisy to give up this pratishta, pratishyari upasakakan. It's a weed that will choke the devotional creeper, as lust is a different kind of weed. And all, and material desires, all those anartas and offenses that we heard in Rida Dolabam, they're all things that the mind holds on to. But is that what we want? So why do you burn both you and me by bathing in the trickling urine of the ass of deviousness and hypocrisy? So Raghunath Das then changes it to a different type of a bath. Instead of donkey urine, you should delight both you and me by eternally bathing in the glistening nectar ocean of pure love for Sisi Gandharva Giridhari. Sisi Ranikas. Because the mind isn't satisfied with its material activities. By embracing the prostitute of in all its different dresses that Maya presents to us, it's just the same thing, me in the center, false ego, mind, intelligence, false ego, and contaminated consciousness working cooperatively to keep the with Maya, changing her dresses, the same thing, again and again and again, changing her dresses to keep us full of material desires and stay in the material world. So why bathe in that? Rather bathe the mind, because the mind becomes satisfied when the holy names are chanted in the association of devotees especially. And then Prabhupada's way was mostly neither the pleading one. It's just ignore it and keep yourself busy in Krishna's service, either chanting or hearing or serving the holy name, because we don't want to chant the holy name as I'm meant to enjoy the holy name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in this quotation from one of his letters, I read it before, you should especially pray to the personified name to make you worthy of serving him. We want to become servants of the holy name. Prabhupada was such a great servant of the holy name. We want to keep this mood, servant of the holy name. So Prabhupada's was very much become absorbed in your service. And but make sure, Chaitasya Sarva Kamani, Maya Sanyasya Matpura, don't let Maya make a division. Maharaj was speaking yesterday about the division between the holy name and Krishna, the person, the Vachaka and the Vachik. and bring those together. And we, the materialistic mind, is so clever that it will separate our service from service to Krishna. It will no longer be severed. Sever, it's our work after a while. It's what I do. And it becomes like our job. But we want to bring those together. This is my offering. When we offer flowers, water, we offer flowers. What's the meaning of offering flowers? Who needs flowers? You know, it smells nice, but it's the external manifestation of the internal appreciation. So we can do it mechanically, but what we want is the internal and the external to be the gesture. When someone gives someone a rose, it's the gesture of the affection, the love. The external manifestation of the internal bhav, the internal mood. So we want to bring our service together. So in that verse, Chaitasava Kamani Maya Sanyasya Matpara Buddha Yoga Mupashrita Machita Satatambhava. That for all activities and the results just depend on me and work under my protection in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. The fully conscious of me is, I'm thinking that this is my seva. This is my, not work, it's not my devotion, it's my devotional service, it's my offering, it's the external gesture from the internal desire to please Krishna. To please Prabhupada, to please my spiritual master, to please Sri Vrindavan Dham, to please all the Vaishnavas. And to that service we want to surrender and give everything to. So that neglecting the mind to become absorbed in that kind of seva was Prabhupada's way of doing it. And also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted everyone to be engaged. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. That was very much Prabhupada's way of doing it. Keep busy, especially the young boys and girls. Keep them busy. And Prabhupada, in regard to book distribution, I've thought about this. He gave the perfect mantra for especially the American mind. It was double it. Because no matter how much you do, you have to double it the next year and double it and double it and double it. This is perfect for the Western mind because it's always wants to increase, increase, increase. And that way, but do it for me. Prabhupada once told me that I want the books distributed. That's what the essence, why everyone did it. Because it was to please Prabhupada. It was their devotional offering to Prabhupada. So whatever our service is, let it not become our work, the source of our maintenance or whatever. And somehow or another, whatever position in our life is, we have to make that our offering for the pleasure of Krishna. Otherwise, our mind will give us, it will not be satisfied. Devotion has to deeply enter. So this was key too. Neglect the mind. So 3 o'clock? Now it's 25 after? Otherwise it will be too late. It's not good to eat it while the sun is setting, actually. I just read that. When we got back last night, it was about time to take prasadam. The sun was setting. And I picked up Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on something and said, and Mother Yasoda was very careful to make sure that Krishna ate at the right times and never let him eat while the sun was setting. So, 20 minutes. Okay, so a quarter of. Thank you.